Ladies and gentlemen, hailing from Long Island, New York, the best wrestling podcast in the world, Joseph Crush, Nikki Noodles, Bad News Canali, and Nick Jersey, the Wrestling Journal Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, WrestleBuzz proudly brings to you the number one wrestling podcast in the world, the Wrestling Journal Podcast. Good morning, Bad News Tom Canali. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. How's it going? A little light in here today. Where the hell is everybody?
I was going to say, Tommy, listen, you're always a big presence on my computer screen, but you are the now equal screen share with me on this virtual Zoom. There is no Nikki Noodles, not surprised. Yeah. And our very own Joseph Crush is at HorrorCon, I believe it is.
Something in New Jersey with the horror movies, yeah.
He's doing something in New Jersey with the horror movies. I mean, listen, he met the Night King, the first one. So I hope he has his dragon glass on him for all you Game of Thrones fans out there, because otherwise you don't beat the Night King any other way. So, Joey, yeah, you don't. Be prepared. Yes, so everybody, it's just Tommy and I, all right? Tag team, the twosome, the Yankee boys.
Yeah, okay? There you go.
The best podcasters on the show. So hang tight with us. We're going to take you through this show. We're going to have a little bit of fun. There'll just be a little back and forth fun banter with me and Tommy. But you know what? Less hot air in the room from Nikki Noodles. Don't got to hear Joey's belly aching. Let's do this thing. Obviously, before we get started, of course, we have to mention our social media, right? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's great that you and I are talking, but if we have no one to talk to, what's the point, right? Mm-hmm. What's the point? So obviously you can find us on Twitter at WrestleBuzz with 3 Z's, on Instagram at WrestleBuzz, on TikTok, at WrestleBuzz. Sorry, Karrion Kross. Podcast, right? We're talking. We hope you listen. Where you're going to download us? Apple Podcasts. Leave a 5-star review if you like it. If not, text Joey personally. Let him know that you are upset with the content and you want it to change. You can call him at area code 631. I'm just kidding. I can't give you the rest of the numbers. If you have his number, someone wants to share it, that's on you, not on me. All jokes aside, listen, we love doing this. We do it every week. We enjoy this. We hope you enjoy it. If we are doing a good job, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It only helps with the algorithm, helps us get more to the top. When you start typing in the search bar wrestling, we come more to the top as a podcast option. So we do appreciate any support. And it's free, right? It doesn't cost you a single thing. Just a matter of hitting a button. Stitcher, Amazon, just ask your smart speaker, Alexa, play the latest episode of the Wrestling Journal Podcast, and she will. I mean, she's the only woman in the house that probably won't talk bad back to you. So enjoy her. Yeah, listen, we can't keep the lights on without paying the sponsors. So Nerd Focus, we say it every week. We're going to continue to say it until it's adopted by everybody. It is the energy think drink that you've been missing all along. I woke up early this morning after working 3 jobs yesterday. I am exhausted. Only way that got me through the morning and got me to today was with Nerd Focus. It is everything you need in energy drink and more. And as a thank you to our fans and listeners, use the code ND20 at checkout. Order 2 or more, you get 20% off and free shipping. Tommy, I mean, you don't want to spend unnecessary money, right?
Oh, right.
Why? Why give the man your money?
Exactly.
You earn it. Yeah. You earn it. You deserve it. And you also deserve to think, to drink the think drink. Nerd Focus, boys and girls. And then also, of course, the Paper Champion. It is where fantasy wrestling is done right. I mean, the evolution of Paper Champion from what it was to where it is now, I mean, it's leaps and bounds, just going to the moon, if I can steal a phrase from Cameron Grimes. Absolutely fantastic. Tommy, I cannot lie. I didn't check my scores this week because I kind of skimmed through SmackDown, but I have to think that I did okay. Right? If Drew McIntyre won,
yeah,
you know, I'm sure Jey Uso was there somewhere.
Yeah, I did pretty good this week. I got 15 points. I was happy.
That's a solid week.
I mean, the guy in first got 115. I don't know how that's possible, man. Whatever, man. Guy did awesome.
Well, I'm going to have to check that out because I don't like getting that. Because that means if he's got one something, that means if I didn't get a good score, I just dropped even further in second place and maybe even third. Yeah. Let's hope not. But yes, the paper champion, it's fantasy wrestling done right. And when the season does open up again, we encourage everyone and anyone to be a part of it. It's free to join. You win real prizes and you just, you do something you love, mm-hmm. which is enjoy watching fantasy, enjoy watching wrestling and have it be fantasy, right? You know, Tommy,
mm-hmm.
we got some news this week and I definitely would like you to take us through it. Keith Lee, after all this time, we've been asking, what happened to Keith Lee? Is it creative? Is he healthy? Is he hurt? What's going on? Tommy, can you tell us what happened with Keith Lee? What did he say this week?
Well, he uploaded a video from his YouTube page and he knows everyone wanted to know, hey, where the hell was he for 5 months? And it came out and it's pretty some scary stuff that he said that he contracted COVID-19, you know, shocking, back in January. And he was off for TV for 3 weeks. He came back for one match against Riddle in February. Then he says the next day he got a call that something was off with him and they did more tests. And it turns out he had like inflammation of his heart, which, you know, I don't know if COVID led to that. I mean, it could have, who knows, but he just said that it got really bad that he was forbidden from training or doing any activity outside of just walking, which, you know, I mean, that's when you think about all the stuff we do during the day, just walk. It's kind of scary. And he said there was a fear that if he did more, there was a chance he could have passed away. So, I mean, that's just, I mean, when you, he had shit like that, man. It's like, wow, that's really scary. So, I mean, we kind of feeling maybe something was, he was hurt or whatever for 5 months. Cause you know, he came up with such, you know, I mean, it wasn't, his character took a hit up here, obviously, you know, from NXT, but he came up with such bravado or whatever. And then to take him off TV for that long, he knew something had to be up and he, you know, he finally let us know. And I mean, it just, it sucks for him. I mean, I'm glad he pushed through it. Obviously he's back, he's wrestling and everything, but man, what a scary time that must've been for him. So, wish him well and hope, you know, hope he does better now.
Tommy, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, listen, as Keith Lee fans, as we are at the podcast, you know, we're always afraid when one of our guys that we really like down at NXT gets called to the main roster because of how bad the storytelling is. Right. And Tommy, you alluded to it before. He came up with a pretty big presence, right? The outfit was wrong. The tights were wrong. Yeah, the music got changed. The presentation wasn't there.
Nope.
He told us to stick with him. Okay. Stick with it. Okay. Outfits got a little bit better. Music got better. Okay. Started winning some matches. Started being in a potential for a title contention, mm-hmm. if we remember correctly, before he went away.
Yeah.
And then he went away pretty quietly with very little news.
Okay.
So our immediate reaction is great. They have nothing for him to do on the storyline. How do you bring up something like this for Keith Lee with nothing for him to do? Now he comes out on YouTube, and there's actually, if you guys want to go watch it, I believe it's on YouTube. Where you can actually watch his 5 or 6 minute video where Tom, like Tommy just alluded to before, he really goes into detail about what happened. And listen, I can say this, and we're not going to turn anything to political here. That's not how we are at the channel. I've never had COVID. I'll put that out there right now. I don't know how it is to have it. Knock on wood, I never did. I know people who've had it who've been okay. Mm-hmm. I know people who've had it and it's kicked their ass. One of our best buddies, JD, got it and he couldn't get rid of it for like 2 months. It was one of the worst times, I'm sure, in his and his family's life. So that's how I can relate to COVID, right? Just because it affected one of our own. And to hear that Keith Lee went through this as bad as he did, that he was kept off TV, that he couldn't even work out. Not only that, and we're not doctors, but maybe this is what led to his heart condition that he went through. Yeah. It could have been, right? Because we don't have enough science behind the fact that if he got COVID, is that the reason why he had the heart condition, or did he have this underlying heart condition to begin with and COVID just exacerbated it? We don't know.
Yeah.
Either way, really bad stuff.
Yeah.
But in a bright spot on a dark story, he's back. He's here. Hopefully we can come up with a little bit more of an actual storyline and for him to actually do some stuff. But health-wise, let's put away actually wrestling. Let's look at the person, who he is. Thank God he's kind of recovered and he's moving forward, because that's what we care about the most, is their obviously well-being. So really scary time. Glad he told us what kind of went on. I feel a little bit better to hear he's on the other side of still recovering, but I'm sure he still has a lot to still keep doing to kind of get back to what he was. I mean, that set him back. Even an athlete like him, a big super athlete, still probably set him back. So he's still probably recovering, but I'm happy to see him now a little bit more on TV than he was. So Keith Lee, happy to have you back.
Absolutely.
But on a lighter note, okay, we're going to shift to AEW, and we're going to shift to what I want to talk about right now, which is Dynamite. Chris Jericho took on, shout out to Wardlow, our boy Wardlow, mm-hmm. in the fourth Labor of Jericho match, Tommy. Okay. Wardlow's lost like maybe once or twice in his AEW career. So inevitably, we know the rematch is going to be Jericho MJF. We know it. That's how it's going to get to it. We knew it, right? But you also never know with AEW, right? They don't necessarily always play their storylines how we've seen storylines play out in WWE. You never know, right? Exactly. Okay. So anyway, Jericho wins the match. Okay, he beats Wardlow. And MJF then announces, like, okay, it's me and you. Not only is it me and you, no entrance music. Uh-uh. You're going to come out in silence. This crowd that popped that brings you up is not going to be able to bring you up. And not only that, Judas Effect, banned. Now, Tommy, I'm going to tell you this, in my opinion. I think the crowd is going to sing his music.
Oh, absolutely.
Sing it loud. Okay? They're going to make up for not having his theme song go off, and they're going to serenade him to the ring. They're going to give him the lift that he needs. How do you feel about the new stipulations and that we're going to get MJF and Jericho, the fifth labor, this week on Dynamite?
I mean, it's just typical of MJF, you know. I mean, with that one label, you know, he can't come out to his entrance music. I mean, that's just perfect for his character as being like the total douche, you know, and everything. You're like, oh, you're not coming out to that, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, the whole using the Judas effect, I mean, Jericho's won titles with that, obviously, and he's been pretty – I don't think anyone's kicked out of that. I could be wrong, but I don't think anyone's kicked out of that since he started using that in AEW. So that should be pretty cool. I mean, obviously, he has, like, the Walls of Jericho and all that kind of stuff he can still use, but it should be an exciting match. I mean, they've been building this for – since, what, springtime when the whole Pinnacle in a circus started, and you said that, you know, there's going to take us through the summer, and it has.
Tommy, I told you it's going to be the feud that takes us through the summer, and, buddy, it's mid-August.
So no, it should be a fun match, and I really think MJF's going to come out of it. I really do. I mean, unless some shenanigans happen, which most likely will, but I do think MJF comes out of it, so it should be pretty cool to see.
Interesting, Tommy. I didn't think you were going to go that way, to be quite honest. You know, when I think about it, because MJF has the right now, I think it's 2-0 against Jericho, if I'm not mistaken. I figured Jericho would have to get one back, but it could be interesting to see how it plays out if MJF gets one over on Jericho, and then Jericho puts his career on the line and is like, listen, you know what? I went through your labors. You beat me. If you can beat me one more time, I'm gone.
Okay, that'd be cool.
And then maybe Jericho then at that point beats him then. So you know what? I like the way you're thinking, because I think we can actually have a continued still storyline, because I don't think anyone is rushing for this to be over.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah, I mean, I'm all on board with this.
It's just sometimes... Sometimes when we watch WWE feuds, we're like, oh, when can this end?
Yeah.
I'm not rushing this one. This one feels good.
Yeah.
It's a nice pace.
Yeah, it's fresh. Yeah, it's good.
So, Tommy, I like where your head's at. And then I like that we actually could maybe get a career match. Because at that point, what would MJF want more if he beat, like you said, if he beat Jericho, right? What else could he want more from Jericho?
Yeah.
Besides for him to retire.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That's the ultimate stipulation. So, I like that. Listen, let's see what happens. We got the debut of Rampage. Tommy, I got to say, I was over the moon. Okay. What made me fall in love with NXT back in the day before it became on network in 2 hours was it was a 1 hour show dedicated to wrestling. Storylines were simple. They were clear. They were concise. You had action. Mm-hmm. You don't have time for filler bullshit. You watch the show comes and goes, and you want more, and you can't wait for next week. I felt, in my opinion, Rampage gave me exactly that. I don't know. Before we get into actual Rampage itself and get into the actual, like, you know, what happened, thinking about like kind of like how I put it, like Rampage being 1 hour, right? Mm-hmm. Different announce team, similar presentation, different announce team, shorter show. How did you feel about that, at least?
I mean, for the debut episode, I enjoyed it. I really did. The matches, like you said, the whole presentation. I mean, I think the commentary should be short by one guy, but that's.
I think four is too much. I agree with you.
I think it's too much. I do think that. I think they should maybe, like, obviously it's a test run and everything. They'll see maybe, you know, they'll get more, you know, feedback from it and everything. They'll see, you know, oh, maybe we got to shorten it. But like I said, for debut episode, I did enjoy it. So, you know, we'll see where it goes from there. But, I mean, hell of a match to start off, I'll tell you that. So
listen, get it, Tommy. Let's get into it, right? Christian Cage, Kenny Omega. Right. Mm-hmm. You have your top guy versus an absolute reliable guy, household name. Everyone kind of knows Christian, right? Mm-hmm. They have an hour on this show to work. And when I watched this match, I really kind of I wanted to break this thing down because I'm like, you know what? this is interesting, right? You're giving us like an alleged pay-per-view match on Rampage, and you're giving us the best that you have with one of the best legends that we've had in recent history. I thought the pacing was great. Mm-hmm. I thought it worked. I thought they didn't make nothing feel short. I thought it worked really well. I thought the spots were good. I thought the finish was unpredictable. Yeah. I didn't think it was going to happen. Tommy, and new Impact heavyweight champion, Christian Cage. He hasn't held the championship since 2001, I think, or 2007 or something like that.
It's been a long time, yeah.
Tommy, I mean, the match itself, like, did you enjoy the match? Did it give you that Kenny Omega, like, five-star match that he always alludes to, that he always gets from Dave Meltzer? Like, did you get that five-star feeling when you watched this match?
I mean, yeah, I would say so. I mean, anytime, you know, Kenny Omega's in there, whoever's in there, if it's Jericho, you know, Cody, I mean, hopefully we see Adam Page in a few months or whatever, but I mean, every time he's in there, he always freaking delivers for me, especially. I mean, like I said, I think right now he's definitely on top of his game with everything when it comes to like being like the douche heel and everything and just the champ, like the collector, I think he called himself with all the belts. Well, now he's short a couple of them, but
yeah.
I mean, awesome. And the finish, I mean, you can't make that any better. I mean, the Bucks trying to get involved, of course, you know, help him out, the typical heel move. And then Christian gets one over on, gives him the unprettier on the chair.
Dude, and Kenny sold that.
He did sell that. I mean, yeah, so that was very cool to see. And I liked at the end, Jungle Boy and all of them came out to congratulate him. So that was pretty cool.
It was a perfect way to like not have his title win, you know, kind of overshadowed by getting help from, you know, Jurassic Express. They were there, but they didn't get involved in the match, right? And Christian used the chair that the Bucks gave to Kenny, right? And got rid of it. Hey, you put that in there, I'm going to put you down with it. And like you said, he hit that premiere in a beautiful way. Yeah, Kenny sold it. I did not expect to see that. But what a way to kick off something new. Like, I can't believe, like, it took WWE how many years to have SmackDown be their second show? And wow, how AEW just put out Rampage, right? And I think that, again, we don't know, right? It could be sponsorship. It could just be that, hey, listen, SmackDown goes from 8 to 10. We're going to take you from 10 to 11, but we're going to give you something different. They did it in about 2 years' time, and what a kickoff show that was, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we had another match on there, and it's hard because it was a quick show, so we can jump through really quick. Fuego del Sol took on Miro, all right? Mm-hmm. God's favorite champion?
Yes.
Wow. I'll tell you this, though. I'm happy they dropped the whole the best man gimmick because that was shit.
That was it. That was just...
This version of Miro is the best version of Miro.
This is what we had. His first run in WWE when he was, you know, undefeated as the Crazy Rush or wherever the hell he was. So yeah, that was, you know.
I love the tornado DDTs. I love how Miro sold it, you know, and the crowd was behind it. The reactions were good. He ended up losing the match. If he would have won, he would have won an AEW contract. But his best friend, Sammy Guevara, had something up his sleeve. Mm-hmm. And I think for the very first time that we've seen Tony Khan on TV, I think they alluded to, Tony Khan gave Sammy Guevara a contract to give Fuego del Sol a contract. So he may be 1-40, but he is all elite. It was a good feel good moment, right? Sometimes like you kind of need that. You need Miro. No one should be putting Miro down, to be quite honest. No one should.
Yeah,
so what better way to get over both guys by having like kind of like a good, happy moment at the end, but you had Miro look like an absolute monster.
Mm-hmm.
But that worked out well. And speaking of a monster, Tommy, we were in Bricksburg.
Yeah.
You're in DMD country.
We were, her hometown.
Those terrible towels were waving in unison, Tommy. Yeah. It was unbelievable to watch that. The crowd was hot.
Yeah.
The whole hour, they were absolutely on fire. Now, Britt Baker took on Red Velvet.
Mm-hmm.
You can say arguably Red Velvet's biggest moment so far in AEW was the mixed tag match that she had with Cody, Shaq, and Jade.
Mm-hmm.
This match did 100 times more, in my opinion, for Red Velvet than that match did. She looked good.
Yeah.
She had moves. She had good chemistry. She did lose.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes in defeat, there are some victories you can kind of say with good storytelling. Red Velvet had like a little heelish thing to her, right, Tommy? Because she was in Pittsburgh. So, what did you think about the match? Don't agree with me if you don't. How'd you feel about how Red Velvet came off the presentation and where she's at right now?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, I mean, you could take anyone. Like remember back in the day when you had, you know, Bret Hart when he turned against America, how he's the biggest heel here, but up in Canada he's a hero. That's kind of the kind of feel I got from it, you know. I mean, you're in Britt's hometown and everything. And true, she's working with a broken wrist or an injured wrist, which is,
yeah.
I mean, good for her. I mean, you know, I hope nothing serious happens to her. But man, I mean, she's definitely the most over of the women down there in the AEW right now. So good for her. But like I said, the whole thing, Red Velvet, I mean, you know, she's obviously coming along and everything, but the match couldn't be any better for me. You know, they put on a good show and everything. And I don't think it's over between them two. I don't think so. I think it's going to keep going for, I don't know, maybe they do like a stipulation type match or something, but this is far from over for both of them.
Well, I mean, listen, if you saw the end of the matches, I know you did. Our own very own resident alien, Chris Statlander, got involved.
Mm-hmm.
Things got a little bit physical. Chris Statlander in the match. And then we had I can't lie and say I know who that was at the end. For some reason, I thought she looked Becky Lynch from behind. So it scared the shit out of me for like 2 seconds. I'm like, oh no.
Yeah. That's like, a lot of people thought that. Yeah.
And I was like, oh. So I can't lie. I don't know who that was. And I watched it really quick this morning.
She's a British wrestler, I think, or something. I forgot. I saw it too. I just saw it real quick and everything. But yeah, it's just, yeah. It's,
yeah. Crazy. I guess we'll have to tune in to find out. But it looks like this storyline could kind of expand a little bit. It could look like Red Velvet and Chris Statlander could be kind of teaming up, because Chris Statlander technically is now the number one contender
for the
AEW Women's Championship, you know, based on her record. So maybe we might get a little tag match, you know, and stuff like that. But you know what? All in all, Tommy, I was very pleased with Rampage. I enjoyed it. It was a quick watch. It was an enjoyable watch. It gave me suspense. 3 championship matches on the first night. Now, I know that can't happen every night, but what a way to kick off your show. I thought Jericho was great on commentary. I think Mark Henry is still trying to find his place a little bit, because he had some interviews where he kind of flubbed on a couple things, but I don't want to beat him up, right?
Yeah.
That, no need to beat anyone up here. I think he's doing a good job. Great to see him on TV again. You know, Taz is a professional. He's done this long enough. So we knew at the end of the day, to be quite honest, I feel like Mark Henry could be more of like a backstage person and let Taz, Jericho, and Excalibur be the ones to call it if you really need, you know, I think it'd be the perfect 3-man booth for the 3 of them at that point. But that's just my 2 cents, right? What do I know? I don't know certain things, right? I'm just a fan.
Exactly.
But anyway, Rampage was good.
Yeah.
Tommy, let's shift a little focus to get to a little WWE. And we had a return after 7 long weeks. The Viper, the Legend Killer. I won't say what else he's done, because he's done some really hurtful things to some people that we love very dearly. So we're going to leave that behind, all right? But Randy Orton is back on Raw with a mustache.
Yes.
Didn't really like the mustache too much, not going to lie. But he's back. And you had to figure Riddle was close behind. And of course he was.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah.
He's back. Do we get RK-Bro back? I don't know. But we did get an interruption from AJ Styles and Omos. Mm-hmm. And set up a match for Randy and AJ at the end of the night, which played out really well. But what I want to get into is that Randy Orton RKO'd Riddle. But, Tommy, did you think he did it in a malicious way? Or did he do it in like a, you know, I'm checking you, but we're still bros?
Yeah, I think it was like you mess around with your buddies, you know, you mess around, whatever, like little brother type thing. Yeah, big brother always, you know, beats him up type thing. Because, I mean, I don't know if you caught it at the end, but I don't know if this is on purpose or he did it. But Riddle was smiling after that.
Yeah.
You see him, he's smiling. So, and you hear the commentary, he's like, oh, I think they're back. So, you know, it could have been just like a little play. I mean, like, you know, when he hits someone with an RKO and like, oh, my God, what did he do that for? You know, type of thing. The announcers didn't react like that. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe it was just, you know, a little playful thing, but we'll see, you know, tomorrow night and everything, if they saw off the show or some point during the show, he comes out and says, hey, you know, I was just messing around type thing. We'll see what happens. But no, I think they're back. I think it was just like a stupid little thing he just did.
Okay. Because to be honest, Tommy, I haven't been as interested in Randy Orton. I have nothing but respect. But the most interested I've been in Randy Orton in the last couple of years was his RK-Bro stuff that he was doing.
Oh, yeah. It's been great.
I was over the top about it. So I really hope – I know that he went away. And first, I don't even know why he went away for 7 weeks. I still don't know.
I don't even know that he just vacation or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I wish I would have said something like, you know, either play up a storyline about it or not. But he was gone for 7 weeks. Anyway, maybe they'll address it or not. But the most interested I've been in Randy was RK-Bro stuff. So to be quite honest, I kind of hope that we continue going down this avenue, because – that was good. That worked. So we will see.
But we know things on Raw, they work and they get rid of them. The Hurt Business to be exempt, but you know.
Oh yeah.
Up, but you know, whatever.
Tommy, that wound hasn't healed, has it?
It hasn't. No, it has not
healed. Oh. Speaking of the Hurt Business, good way to transition to the next thing. Tommy, is Goldberg done? Because Lashley says he's next.
Yeah.
But Lashley also said, Goldberg, you're done.
Yeah.
Now, Goldberg's come back on the one-offs, mm-hmm. right? And it's been nice to see the big name, you know, the music hit, the sparklers. His son grew up. Holy
shit.
Yes, he did. He's bigger than our own Nicky Noodles, which isn't really much of an accomplishment, but it's still cool to call out. You know, Goldberg has now kind of become like the enhancement legend, if you think about it. I know he did something really stupid a couple of years ago. We're not going to say that on the show because we don't put that bad juju out here.
Yeah,
but
no.
We'll move past that from our memories. We'll scratch it. But what he's kind of done lately has been sort of, you know, he lost to Braun Strowman
mm-hmm.
at WrestleMania. You know, he's lost, you know, more lately. He lost to Drew McIntyre. You have to think this lineup with Bobby Lashley, 5 minutes, 6 minutes max, have some heavy moves, couple spears on both sides. You got to think Bobby Lashley's hands being raised. So Tommy,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to say this, no disrespect to a legend. I think Lashley's right. Goldberg is done.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, he's definitely enhancing these talents, like the ones you just recapped and everything. But I mean, I pray he does not beat Lashley after what they've done with Lashley for the last 5 months, you know, build him up as this unbeatable monster, you know, basically destroying everybody and all. And for Goldberg to come in like for a 5 minute match and just win, I pray it doesn't happen. But hey, WWE, we never know how the big guy's thinking, unfortunately. So, I mean, he thinks, you know, maybe it's a good move to do that, but I pray he doesn't. But I mean, as we know, the match probably is not going to be anything special. I mean, I don't think he's going to put him in the Hurt Lock. I think he'll just maybe, like, MVP will definitely get involved type thing, probably, you know, distract him and maybe spears him type of thing. But hopefully he is done, but I don't think he is, unfortunately.
Yeah. You know, it's tough, Tommy, right? Because, like, I love seeing a legend return, right? You never want to forget the past because the past is the reason you're here and we're enjoying today. But sometimes I feel like you can use Goldberg in different capacities, right?
Exactly.
And again, it's hard not to compare WWE to AEW. It's going to be the comparison until the end of time, until one is gone or they're both gone or whatever the case, or we're gone.
Yeah.
Whatever happens first. But the way I see the way Sting is being used, couldn't it be more perfect?
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Yep.
Little physical confrontation here. Had a couple matches. Going to have his first match on Dynamite next week against 2.0, formerly known as Ever Rise in WWE. I mean, they're using him in a capacity. They had him on Rampage in the rafters. Yep. Dude, I got chills when I saw him in Darby in the rafters.
Yep.
It brought me back.
It was cool.
Why does Goldberg have to be physical in any appearance he has in WWE? You tell me you can't team him up with someone? Yep. You can't have him have like a little bit of a mini run? But not have to be in, you know, one payoff match with a couple Raws here and there just to promote it.
Yeah.
You can do it a little bit different, right? Because you're making Goldberg look weak.
Exactly.
Because I'll tell you right now, I don't believe for a fucking shot of a doubt that he's gonna win next Saturday. I don't.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep burying him. Doesn't make me feel good about the legend of Goldberg.
Yeah. No. Nah, yeah.
So. I don't know how this one's going to play out. I don't think he needs to win. I'm going to hate to see him lose. And that's where this doesn't make a lot of sense. And even for Lashley, it's not going to, I don't think he's going to do more for Lashley. I would have rather seen Keith Lee and Bobby Lashley at SummerSlam.
Exactly.
And let that be a 20 minute burner of a match.
Absolutely. I would have helped both of them. Absolutely. Exactly. That's all you can do. Exactly.
It kills me, but you know what? Let's talk about something a little bit lighter. All right. The most professional podcaster in the world called it.
Yes, he
when
did.
I said, what I want to see in NXT is I want to see Dexter Lumis show up to Johnny Gargano's house with flowers. Check. I want to see Dexter not say a word to Johnny and just convey his manners through a look. Check. I want to see him take Indy out on a date. Check. I want Indy to allude to big conversations and things like that. Check. So long story short is, if you listen back to last week's episode, I called it as I see it, as it should be said. And if they listen to me more, they'd have a better product. But Tommy, Someone is listening.
Yes, they
because
are.
Either I'm really good at my job or I should go play lotto because one or the other. We had the quote unquote Dexter Loomis indie date and having the shenanigans of Johnny and Candace the whole time and playing off of Dexter not speaking and Indy being this girl in love and wanting to be left alone. Tommy, I loved every moment of it. It was hysterical. He dressed up as the waiter with great, the mustache and the cake in Dexter's face and Candace getting caught and the no looks. Tommy, how'd you feel watching it? Did you love it as much as I did?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what they've been doing for the last, I feel like it's been since the winter they started this whole romantic angle with those two. It's everything's been great, you know, with her passing out and he carrying a bag and then she looks back at the camera and winks and all that. That was great. You know, everything has worked with this angle for me, especially. And just to top it off with last week, you know, they're at the restaurant and, you know, Johnny's just being, you know, pretending he's the waiter. He goes, oh, no, I'm the waiter. This is my cake and all this type of, you know, it was just, he can't make it any better down there with NXT. It's been so good for that. And I'm curious to see where they go from here. Do they go on another date? Do they do something else? We'll see what happens, but it's can't be any better.
I do hope they play it up a little bit more. I don't want this just to be a quick little one-off. I think they can kind of play into this a little bit more because I think what would be fun is like to almost see like, and here's another one. I'm going to throw this out there. Have Johnny and Dexter be a part of some sort of counseling to help bring them together, right? Some sort of way to like, you know how like at work they try to like do these like little group exercises to kind of bring people closer, mm-hmm. whether it be like sharing and playing games and stories, icebreakers. I'd like to see that be the next version of this angle where Indy wants Johnny to truly give Dexter a chance and they use some sort of like, you know, binder of different activities to be able to try to get them together, ending with some sort of like therapy session where they don't show us off camera, but they show on camera like Johnny's reaction and like he heard Dexter talk for the first time, but we don't hear it.
Yeah.
And him almost be like, oh my God, you won't shut up. Like there's something funny like that. I would love it. So I'm going to put that out there right now in the universe. Let's see if I can do it again, Tommy.
And hopefully the therapist or whatever is Dr. Shelby. That'd be awesome.
Dr. Shelby. I would love that. Great callback. That would be some nice storytelling, Tommy. I like that.
That'd be awesome. See if they bring him back.
Hell yeah. That would be great. We got to see Ted DiBiase this week again on NXT. And it looks like, and Tommy, I'm a little bit disappointed in the how quick this happened. Mm-hmm. I know the payoff has to be quote unquote Grimes and LA Knight having another match where Grimes ends up going away with the $1 million championship. I get it. But doesn't it feel a little too soon? Mm. Like, didn't it feel like so rushed so quick? We only had like where he was the butler for 2 weeks and now we're already getting the final payoff, right? We're getting that final match probably because the stipulation is if Grimes loses, Grimes is no more the butler.
Yeah.
Ted DiBiase is. I felt the promo in the ring wasn't as well done. I felt like they were all doing their best to try to figure out what to do. It felt very clunky, in my opinion. I wasn't very over the top about it. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit disappointed that they're going to pay this off this quickly because Grimes is not going to be the butler anymore. And if he loses, he's done. And Ted DiBiase is in there. But then do you want him to continue to try to get DiBiase? You know what I mean? Like, it feels a little bit off to me. I don't know if you feel that way.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, because we know Ted DiBiase, I mean, unless he signed a new deal, I don't think he has. I don't think he's going to be on NXT every week being his butler. You know what I mean? So we kind of feel like, you know, who knows, you know, if that's the case. But who knows? Maybe, you know, maybe just last a week or whatever. But, like, I don't think he's going to be there that long. So, I mean, most likely Cameron Grimes will win it. And, I mean, it would be pretty cool, you know, a takeover, see that happen. But, like you said, it definitely feels rushed. I'll definitely agree with that. So, you know, but maybe they come up with something. Who knows? You know, it is NXT, so I'm not giving, you know, my faith isn't shaken with them yet. So, if they had one little clunky thing happen here and there, hey, it happens. So.
Right. And I agree with you, Tommy. I have my faith, but I don't know. I feel like they're trying to get this storyline over with. When I'm like kind of like watching, I'm like, they're trying to finish this quick. It just feels that way to me. But you know what? Again, I'm just talking out loud, just sharing what I'm feeling. We had the very first time of Ilya Dragunov from NXT UK on our USA television. You know, Pete Dunne came out and I didn't think the interaction was over the top. I didn't really enjoy it too much. I'm not trying to shit on NXT. You know, I love it very much, but I didn't really like enjoy it. So I was very much like, eh, But what I did enjoy was that main event.
Yeah, it
was that good. Main event was a takeover quality match. Those two guys are good. They are really good. Like when I say like I was on the edge of my seat the whole time watching this match, their mat grappling, their hard hitting, their fast pace, their chemistry was fantastic. Pete Dunne, if you aren't a fan of him, just watch him continue being absolute professional every match he's in. And if you haven't had a chance to watch Ilya Dragunov on NXT UK often, because it's like at 3 o'clock, like on, I forgot what day of the week it is on Peacock. It's tough to watch much more wrestling. And now we have Rampage. We have to watch another hour of wrestling. Yay. You know, not that I don't love it. Yeah. We love it, but it sometimes can be a lot. Weeks go by quick, not enough time in the week, but
exactly. That
main event was great. Yeah. And let me tell you, I did not believe that Pete Dunne was going to win. He did win.
Yeah.
Which leads me to believe that he'll have some sort of future shot at whomever the NXT UK champion will be after NXT TakeOver coming up, where Ilya Dragunov will take on Walter. And Walter got there and he showed up and he showed out and got physical.
Yes, yeah.
That guy is an absolute monster.
He really is. I mean, it's just, I mean, you can put him in any kind of match and the guy will deliver. He's just unbelievable how good of a wrestler that guy is. And just, he really doesn't have to talk, but his wrestling talks for him, you know what I mean? Kind of thing.
Which is
awesome. So that's what I like about it. And I think that match at TakeOver, that might be the number one match of the night. I mean, the one they had months ago over in the UK, I mean, holy shit, that match, that's still one of the best matches I think I've ever seen in like the last 10 years. It's so good.
Yeah. It's crazy when they're like, you have like these people that you don't see in your TV like at all, you know, so often because we have so much other programming to watch when it comes to wrestling. But like you have this guy like Walter, who should be like almost like the MVP of the European circuit right now. And when I say circuit, I'm just saying like, you know, European type wrestling. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, he should be the MVP. Like you said, Tommy, he is an absolute throwback. Yeah. He's a hard hitter. He's fast paced. He can wrestle big. He can wrestle small. I just can't believe that someone like him has been like this almost. And like I said, I don't want to call him a hidden gem, but because he's not on your TV probably as frequently as he is on some others, pay attention.
Exactly.
Enjoy this match when it's on there. It's going to be absolute fire.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much to finish off NXT, we had the culmination of the Undisputed finale. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
2 out of 3 falls. First match, traditional, straight up. Let's do this thing. Second match, street fight.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we've loved the physicality of these two. We've seen on replay the suplex onto the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen them both do it to each other. We've seen them get physical. If they get past, if it ends up being 1-1, the final match will be a steel cage match. Regal wants this done.
Mm-hmm.
This is being billed as the Undisputed finale. This will be the finale.
Yep.
Okay. In my opinion, this will be Adam Cole's swan song wherever he ends up going. But where I think he's not going to be, and this is going to hurt Tommy, I'm sorry to say it, is NXT.
Yep. No, he's not ever.
So I know we've had so many great interactions with Cole and O'Reilly over the months. I wasn't so sold on this interaction, to be quite honest. I didn't feel like it added much more to the storyline than it's already there. Not that it wasn't needed. I just didn't feel like it. Sometimes some interactions like put something else over the top. For me, it just didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's like I'm a downer about NXT this week. I'm not trying to be, but I just, you know, just throwing it out there. But what I am all for is this 2 out of 3 falls match. This Undisputed finale has to be the biggest, has to be big, because this is it. Mm-hmm. You're not going to see Cole and O'Reilly and NXT, you know, versing each other ever again. I will put my stamp on it. It will not happen ever again. And if I'm wrong, I will apologize to Nicky Noodles on air and tell him that he is the greatest softball player I've ever seen play.
Oh, boy.
All right. And if you can see my face, only Tommy can and my dog can. I'm being facetious. But yeah, there was NXT.
Mm-hmm.
But Tommy, there's a couple things that happened on SmackDown that we hard not to speak about.
Mm-hmm.
One being we have a brand new IC champion, the new Intercontinental champion, King Nakamura.
Yeah, very cool.
Very cool. It's nice to get some title changes here and there. Kind of keeps things fresh because we know when you watch shows and especially the WWE product, when you feel like you're just like, all right, can't wait for it to be over. Can't wait for it to be over. You kind of get a title change. It's kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Okay. We have a title. We have a title signing between Bianca and Sasha, which arguably, in my opinion, stole WrestleMania. That was a special, special match. That match, I loved it, and it's smart of them to try to capitalize again. Right, do it again. Big crowd, Las Vegas. Smart.
Perfect. Yep.
Smart. And to be quite honest, I think Sasha takes it.
I think so too. Yeah, I really do.
And that's why I think it's going to be a good match to watch, because then you'll be tied up at 1-1. So that's going to be a lot of fun. What I really want to get to, Tommy, really want to get to, was that absolute tear the house down, burn it down, lunatic fringe type promo we got between Roman Reigns and John Cena. Tommy, I give this segment an absolute A+.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, Tommy, I know you live for this stuff, so I want to give it to you. They went off like almost a half an hour.
It was a long time.
But Tommy, I mean, they hit on some points. So, I mean, share with me how you felt watching this thing. I know you were probably geeking out on the corner of your chair, like, dude, are they going this? Are they doing this? They said Dean Ambrose's name.
They said Nikki Bella. Yeah. So that was, I mean, Roman brought that up. You know, oh, didn't work for Nikki Bella. I was like, oh shit, okay. And they're going very personal with these promos. So it was very cool. I mean, it's adding to the, you know, the excitement of this match. And Roman was doing that, and then, you know, Cena's like, you know, pointing to Heyman. He goes, he knows how much I could take. You know, I basically built Suplex City, and from SummerSlam years ago, yes, he did. He's besides Lesnar, he's the architect of Suplex City. So all those suplexes he took, but man, when he's calling out, you know, you almost destroyed Rollins, you ran Dean Ambrose out. I was like, holy shit. And you can see the crowd got into it too.
Yeah.
And Roman just laughed, smiled and stuff. It was just, but man, they just, Cena, man, all these years, you can still cut a promo. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And I really cannot wait for this match now after that. I mean, I was happy for it, and I was, you know, it was going to happen. But after this promo, man, this is just going to go right to the top for me. It was so good.
Tommy, it's crazy, right? You have, and I like the way Michael Cole builds it. You have the greatest of all time versus the greatest of this time. Mm-hmm. I love that billing. Like, yeah, that is so well said. And I know it's hard for people, right? Because you either love Cena, you hate him, but you got to respect him, right? Wow. Let's go Cena. Cena sucks, yeah, but Cena needs to be respected, because a guy who can go away for as long as he did, come back, no one talks like he does on the mic, yeah, right? We've seen some great people cut promos, right? We know that Eddie Kingston cuts a good promo. We know some of these other guys cut some promos. MJF cuts a promo, yeah, right? Seth Rollins, Edge, Adam Cole, Miz, like, they cut promos. But when Cena speaks, like, you got to, like, listen, like, a pin's going to drop.
Yeah.
Because he can say whatever he wants with zero, mm-hmm, repercussions. Zero.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. There's only a couple that can.
Yeah, exactly.
Cena, Rock, Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not seeing Rock and Stone Cold anytime soon.
Nope.
So Cena is the untouchable one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think deserving it. So I cannot wait to watch this match at SummerSlam. I hope it goes 25 minutes. I hope they give us everything.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think they will.
So, I mean, like I said before, certain promos help really elevate the match more. The names and the star power alone, like you said, Tommy, this promo put it over the top.
Absolutely.
I cannot wait when I tell you. Tommy, it's funny, right? We write down some stuff to talk about. We talk about it. Just you and I having a good, friendly conversation, like, where the boys are just catching up and chilling. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you don't have Nick's nonsense and his buffoonery, we don't have Joey and his silly antics. We get through the stuff.
Yeah.
We talk about it. We get through it. We share the opinions.
Hey, we're the professionals here. We know.
We are the professionals, all right? We play with the pinstripes on our jerseys.
Exactly.
Not like the schmoes. I'm just kidding. Listen, Tommy, this was a lot of fun.
It was.
We cannot end the show, of course, without our MVPs. It's only you and I.
Yeah.
I mean, I could go first if you want to go first.
You go first. It's fun.
All right. My MVP this week is Christian Cage.
Okay.
He's the first one to beat Kenny Omega one-on-one in a very long time. And he is now the new Impact champion. Which is absolutely wild to me. Thought you wouldn't see it. You did. You didn't think he was going to wrestle again. He has. think he's going to win a championship? He has. Mm-hmm. And now he's going to face Kenny Omega at All Out for the AEW championship. I don't think he's winning that match.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so either.
For now, this week, Christian Cage, the new Impact champion. You are my MVP.
Just talk about it. I got to go with that promo between Roman and Cena, man. I mean, just
how could you not?
Yeah, just so good. I mean, and the best thing about this whole thing, they're not getting physical. It's all been verbal this whole time. They're not getting
don't
physical.
Don't touch each other.
Yeah, exactly. It's been so when it gets to SummerSlam next week, man, it's just going to just blow up, and I cannot wait for it. So that promo, like I said, definitely. And I forgot the part of the promo where he's like, maybe I'll blow you a kiss when I run out of the crowd. I'm like, holy shit. So that was so good. You can't make it up. He's just so good right now. So,
absolutely amazing. I couldn't agree with you more, Tommy. Absolutely amazing. Completely fair. I mean, it set the wrestling, you know, it set one of the storylines ablaze, if mm-hmm. you want to say. And what better way than to have it at the biggest party of the summer, right?
Exactly.
SummerSlam, Las Vegas, next Saturday.
Yes.
It's right around the corner. So super exciting for it. We have some great matches coming up. We'll, of course, give our predictions in next week's show of who we think is going to win and lose at SummerSlam. God willing, Tommy and I get some great points for mm-hmm. the paper champion.
That'd be nice.
And Joey, you know, he squanders a little bit with his, you know, BS Vince Russo type booking that he likes to do sometimes, his fairy tale booking that Joey likes. But we'll see. But Tommy, mm-hmm. it was a blast doing this with you, my friend. I love cool. shooting the shit with my boy. You know, it's only about a little time every week that we get to do this. So I enjoy every moment of it. So I appreciate the time today doing this.
Absolutely.
But as always, you know, if you want to listen to us, Apple Podcast, leave a review, Amazon, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever podcasts can be found. That's where we are. If you want to interact with us on social media, Joey's very active.
Yes, he is.
TikTok, Instagram,
Facebook.
At WrestleBuzz, Facebook at WrestleBuzz, Twitter at WrestleBuzz with 3 Z's. Everybody, stay safe. Watch pro wrestling. Until next time.